We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Liebe besonders, der ganze Gefuden, hinten im Boden, immer ne Umwandlationen. Wir sind weg, Himmel und Dotten, was stimmen in Wieden, aus Siemen, ein Nachbar, mehr Jungmann, alle Dotten, intentet sich schlufen, Affele, mit dir des Boots.
Hey, Mala, Asotti, Dame, Mrakro, Zim, Likos. Hey, Folotti, Kacho, Dame, Mrakro, Zim, Likos.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be interviewing Levi Hassofer, who is the author of a new graphic novel called In the King's Palace, a tale of tefillah, which means prayer, suspense, and paper airplanes. This is a really cool book. We got this just recently. It's hot off the press. It's still out, burning fingers. The second half of the hour, we'll focus a little bit about Purim, the upcoming holiday on the March the 9th and 10th. We'll be talking about that. It's getting really close. We've got also the portion of the week. Maybe we'll put the two together a little bit, which is Teruma, chapter 26 and following in the book of Exodus. There's lots of music scattered throughout the show. A wonderful Hasidic story, Purim related, at the very end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. In incidents in Israel, an armed terrorist was arrested at the Cave of the Patriarchs in Hebron as he attempted to stab a security officer. A man was assaulted in the West Bank. The victim was attacked by Palestinian Authority residents who were helped by a group of radical left-wing Jewish activists. That's serious. A woman is in stable condition after a stabbing attack in Jerusalem. The female terrorist was taken into custody. And one terrorist was shot and injured as he tried to ram into soldiers at a West Bank checkpoint. In other news, the IDF cyber unit, I guess they have their own Star Wars people, the IDF cyber unit stopped a planned infection of cell phones throughout Israel, which was going to be staged by Hamas. The first known case of coronavirus in Israel was reported after an Israeli passenger from the quarantine cruise ship Diamond Princess returned home to Israel. All 11 Israelis from that ship are under quarantine in Israel for 2 weeks. That's after they've been in quarantine for how long on that ship? Anyway, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu lifted the construction ban on the Givat Hamatos neighborhood in Jerusalem, giving the go-ahead to 3,000 housing units that were first approved in 2012. Netanyahu also announced the approval of 1,000 homes for Palestinians in East Jerusalem's Beit Safafa neighborhood to help ease its housing crisis. Stopping in Fiji on his way to an official visit in Australia, Israeli President Reuven Rivlin announced the establishment of 100 new scholarships for Pacific Island students of agriculture to train at the Arava International Center for Agricultural Training in Israel. He also said that Israel will open a center for innovation for the Pacific Island states in collaboration with the University of the South Pacific. Israel's Argamon Industries has developed a face mask that is 100% effective against viruses, including the coronavirus. The mask uses copper-treated antimicrobial cotton and can be reused for extended time. Current face mask can only be used for about 3-4 hours. And finally, reported anti-Semitism this week. A park in suburban Cleveland was vandalized with swastikas and anti-Jewish statements and Stars of David graffiti spray-painted on two Boston apartment buildings. And if you're wondering about the Kinneret, it didn't rise, it didn't sink this week. It's all good in Israel. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Michigan. Did you know that filling out the census helps fund life-saving medical programs?
Money for Medicare, Medicaid, and My Child is directly tied to your participation. And you can complete all 9 questions in about 10 minutes.
So be sure to fill out the census this spring and count everyone in your home. When everyone counts, everyone wins.
To learn more, please visit myvoicecounts.org. That's myvoicecounts.org.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We have online, Levi Hassofer has authored a new book, In the King's Palace, A Tale of Tefillah, meaning prayer, suspense, and paper airplanes. And this has recently come across our desk. The review team put it right on the top of the pile because this is a monumental work and highly recommended. How are you today, Levi?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Thank God, good.
Good to hear.
How are you?
Good, thank God. Thank you for asking. Okay, so this book talks about something referred to the Shmona Esrei, which we call in English the silent devotion. And I know you've written books or a book before about the silent devotion. And if you could tell for our general listening audience, if you could please clue us in as to what is the nature of the silent devotion and its importance in the prayers, if you don't mind. Just take a couple minutes to do that for us, Levi.
Oh, sure. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Okay. The nature of Shemoneh Esrei, you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't hearing you so good. Okay. Sure. So, the Shemoneh Esrei is, it's the highlight of the prayer, which Jews are praying 3 times a day. So the highlight of each prayer is this section. It has 19, what we call 19 blessings, but they're not just blessings. So I'll divide it like this. So you have the first 3 blessings are praising God. Similar, before you come to a king and start asking of him anything, you want to praise him. Then the next 13 blessings are primarily requests. And they are called blessings. We do finish each one with saying, blessing God for granting us our request. So the request, and I'll break that down a little bit too. And then the last 3 of the 19 is the combination of a request, it's praise. Anyways, so to break it down, which is interesting that the first request is atochenen. We're asking for knowledge. So here, it's just kind of introduction. Before we ask anything, we want to make sure we have the right knowledge to ask for the right thing. We also want to have the knowledge to realize that we're standing in front of God. And I won't go into the details of all of them, but just to break it up a little bit, the first ones are requests for things that not everyone needs equally, like healing. Not everyone is sick, or asking for sustenance. Some people need that more than others. But then we move into requests that all the Jewish people need equally. And this is the theme of Mashiach, redemption, mostly. Most of that is the theme of redemption. This theme repeats itself in these 13 requests, in the later ones, quite a few times in different ways. So, like, there'll be we'll request that we all be gathered out of exile and be, you know, together, brought together to Jerusalem. We don't say Jerusalem, but just to be gathered, that will be in Jerusalem. Then that's a later blessing where we ask for Jerusalem to be rebuilt and God to return to Jerusalem. So, in other words, this is what I point out in the book, that it's, we're not just asking for a regular Jerusalem, we're asking for the Jerusalem when Mashiach will come, which will be special in many ways. It's beyond the scope of this conversation. Mm-hmm. So that theme repeats itself. There's quite a few blessings that discuss redemption one way or another, and we're requesting the redemption. Jerusalem should be rebuilt, and we should be gathered, and we should have the judges back, the Sanhedrin, and then we finish off with praising God once again, asking for peace. The last blessing is that we're asking for peace, and like I said, after we request, we also thank God. We say, you know, Baruch Atah Hashem, thank God for granting our request, and. Because we believe that every request is granted, even if we don't see it, it's granted in some form or another. Sometimes we see how it's granted. Sometimes we don't see it. And okay. And this is a very special blessing. This prayer is called Amida. Others call it Amida. We say it's standing, and it's the high point of our prayers every day.
Okay.
Three times a day.
How long have Jews been praying this? Silent devotion, Levi Sofer.
I'm sorry.
How long have Jews been praying this this prescription?
So this formula of this prayer was made by the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the Great Assembly. So that would be what, about 2,300 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so ever since then, 2,300 years.
They've been doing that's quite a okay. quite a formal chapter change. Now, so let me ask you then, since this is really your second work, your second endeavor in explaining the silent devotion, also known as the Midah and the Shemana Esrei,
right.
What's your fascination for it? What's your hook? Why is this your thing?
I'll tell you, like, sometimes we do things out of root, and So this, I was doing it out of routine ever since I'm like 8 years old. So it was important to me, but it wasn't until I was, until my father passed away and I was actually praying, saying this prayer, 5 times a day. I was also saying it as the chazan, as the, leading the congregation. And then it was only then that I started realizing that it's more than just something important to do, but it's that there's, you know, something so very, very essential, important, how important are the things we're asking for and how urgent they are and how interesting the blessings are. There's, every word is exact and there's a lot of meaning behind it, and there's many books written on it. And the meanings of the prayers, and I just, it opened the whole world to me. And of course, then the desire to share that with others. Maybe they shouldn't have to wait until as long as I had to wait, you know, to realize that. And with the new book, it's for the kids, just to give them a little taste, of each blessing. And I don't go deep into each blessing, but it was one interesting point. And each of the 19 blessings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how long ago did this idea for it's presented like more like a in comic book form, but it really is a graphic novel more than a comic book. So how long ago did you start working on this and putting your facts together?
Okay, quite a few years. I don't even know how long. I'm going to guess between 7 and 10 years. So, but it took different forms, you know. I wanted to share it. I didn't know how. And until my wife suggested to do it in a comic form. So thank God I was able to do that. God gave me like the what I wanted also to do is I wanted to blend the messages into this, like weave the messages into the story, so it shouldn't be like so it should be fun, you know. It shouldn't be like something that the kids are learning something they're already learning in school. They're not looking to learn something else when they come home and read a comic book. So the lessons are woven into the story, so it's part of the story, and it's an exciting story. And God was kind to me to just give me the inspiration of the correct, you know, the right story. We chose a story with the palace of a king, in the king's palace, as the book is called, because God is like we say in the book, the uppercase king is similar to lowercase king. So we could learn a lot about God from observing a king in this world. So we chose that setting and just went from there. Everything was just, you know, falling into place, and I saw, you know, a lot of siyata d'shmaya, how do you call it?
Help from heaven.
Help from heaven, right, in getting it. And the biggest help at the end was that I came across Yona Klein, who actually wrote the book on a kid's level. He has a tremendous talent, and I just bumped into him. He was visiting his parents. I happened to tell him I'm making a book, and the rest is history.
Interesting. It is fascinating. The idea of a king, whenever I'm teaching a class, and there's always this, the idea of a king comes up as a metaphor all the time, whether it's the king in his palace or the relationship the king has with his son, that's a big one, or the king has with the subjects. And I kind of like excuse the metaphor because we don't have kings anymore. And the president of the United States, as powerful as that person may be, is not a king because after 8 years maximum, they're gone and kings don't go away. So why did you stick with this metaphor if you want to have something the kids could relate to? Of a king.
Well, you know, I think just because of that, it's more exciting. You know, it's something novel. Excuse the pun.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they're not familiar with kings, so it's kind of exciting. A king's palace sounds really, you know, something super interesting.
Okay. I can understand that. So now, if you're just joining us, our guest today is Levi Hassofer. He has written a book called In the King's Palace, a tale of tefillah suspense, meaning prayer, tefillah suspense, and paper airplanes. It is actually distributed by Feldheim Publishers and available, wherever Jewish books can be found on Amazon and et cetera, and I think it's Feldheim.org. They have a strange ending at their end. I don't think it's Feldheim.com. But so the idea of your ideas, this story that you kind of like wove it into, when I first looked at it, so I know that you were really enthralled with the concept of the silent devotion. But then when it says, and paper airplanes, and so I'm giving you a spoiler alert, the paper airplane saves the day. Just to let every people know, I just killed the ending for everybody. But were you a paper airplane enthusiast when you were, say, like 11, 12 years old, Levi?
You know, you probably have to ask this question to Yona Klein.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he orchestrated that part of the story. I did the rest of the story, but over there we got a little stuck, and that was his part.
Uh-huh. So let's talk about the collaboration. You have an idea. You have something that you want to convey, and you have at least the wherewithal to understand that someone else could probably put it down on paper better than you. So talk about the collaborative efforts that went into conveying these, what really are very deep concepts, to a way that an 11-year-old boy can understand.
Right, right. You know, I tried, you know, bringing it down, but like I said, it was, you know, God orchestrated that I met Yona. Yona does this almost, you could say, for a living. He writes comic books, and he really brought it down. But I want to talk about collaboration. We can't go without mentioning all the supporters. I mean, I got a lot of financial support from people who gave dedications in the back of the book, and there's about 70 full illustrated pages, in a very, you know, very beautifully illustrated pages, and so that ends up being very expensive. So there were the kind people that gave, they were able to sponsor this book, and that's part of the collaboration. Also, Yona works with this illustrator on other projects. So once I got Yona to write it, it was automatically he'll write to Jackie, the illustrator, what kind of picture he wants on the page, and then Jackie puts it in, and they're a good team, and this was great. And with modern technology, I was able to get. We were able to communicate, even though they're in Israel and I'm here, but I was always getting, you know, pictures of what they were doing every day, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Were you like surprised and amazed that they actually came up with, wow, that was what I was thinking? Or when you get a picture, it was like, it could be better?
I was always amazed. I kept, you know, sending emails, you know, great, wow, you know, I was praising them all the way, because it was genuine. You know, they're really good. So, yeah, I was surprised.
Okay. So as far as the story, could you just give us like a little bit of the vibrato? What is the story conveyed to sort of like catch people? Because we've been talking about the deep fundamentals behind that. But if an 11-year-old boy is listening to the show right now, he's not going to run in and ask his mom, could you buy me in the King's Palace, please? So give us a little bit about the storyline.
Right. So the teacher tells the kids, you know, we're gonna have a tour of the palace. And they're all excited. They never toured the palace, and they just know that there's some king in their country, but they never really. So they're all excited. And he says this will enhance their studies of the prayers. Anyways, so make the long story short, they get the tour, but it's a short tour, and there's a prince there. Prince is eager to have some boyfriends, so he gets two of the kids to get their parents to agree that they should come back and play with him. And from there, they get in trouble eventually, and there's a jail sentence, the whole situation. Can't tell you the whole story, but gets exciting. And at the end, like all stories, it ends up good.
And they all live happily ever after. And indeed, yeah. The airplane saves the day. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So really then, yeah. So when you were making this, it seems like I was discussing this with our review team, who, like I said, we got the book on Thursday. The review team looked on it Friday morning and said, we're pushing this to the top of the pile. I have, without exaggeration, a stack of books that people have sent me. And we tell the people when the review team gets around to looking at it, we'll let you know about it. And some things, we never do a bad review. That was always one of the policies. I will never say this book is terrible because the person put so much into it. If it doesn't meet our criteria, we just don't talk about it. Then there are books that will... this will be good, and we'll kind of get to it when we get to it. We got to look at this more, and with it, this one, zoom, right to the top of the pile. And the team was to say this is a work, as we said in the introduction, it's monumental. I don't think there's anything comparable out there that talks about, say, these concepts and presented in these ways in this format. Would you say that's true, Levi Haussofer?
Yes. I think that this is the first time where you could study this in a fun way.
Okay, so you're a trailblazer then, and the team really thought that this was really something. I really appreciated the idea of a graphic novel. The question though is,
yeah.
is this a niche market? Is this only going to be, would only an 11, 12, 10, 11, 13 year old boy appreciate in the King's Palace, maybe?
Well, there's a lot of adults that enjoy comic books, so if you're one of those adults, you're going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Like when I saw a comic book, I was thinking, well, can I read this to my 8-year-old granddaughter?
Oh, yeah, no, girls for sure. It's not just for boys. Oh, yeah, it happens to be that there's it's a boy's story, but no, that's girls enjoy it too.
Yes, I know my granddaughter, when there's no girls in the book, she kind of goes, well, where are the girls? But I understand, and the team actually did say, there's enough touchy-feeling books out there for girls. It seems like a lot of the Jewish kids' books that are out there are written for girls, and they're very emotional and very touchy-feeling. And this one, this is not a touchy-feeling book. This is like this is hard-hitting on the edge. And I'm thinking you did that intentionally.
No, I don't think. No, we didn't do that intentionally. Maybe I'm a boy, so you know, I made a boy's book.
Okay. Now you have kids, and you have a full range of kids, both girls and boys and girls. They're probably your hardest critics. So, what did they think?
Maybe they're being respectful, but they enjoy it. All the kids enjoy it.
Okay, that's great.
I had other kids read it. My brother-in-law is a principal. Last year was a principal. He had the kids that were sent on timeout to read it, and they loved it. So.
Okay, it's good. Okay, and again, the book is called In the King's Palace, A Tale of Tefila.
It's coming to the store this week, so it's fresh.
Fresh. In the King's Palace, A Tale of Tefila Suspense, Paper Airplanes, distributed by Feldheim Publishers. Available wherever Jewish books can be procured. We want to thank you so much. Now, I always ask this question, Lavio Seifer.
Yeah.
This is your first at work in this type of thing. Are you thinking now of maybe a second graphic novel on something, since you are the trailblazer?
No.
You can't stop now. If people love it, they're going to want more Lavio Seifer stuff. You know that.
Okay. Well, I guess it depends on the feedback. But yes. So far, no.
Okay. Okay. We're going to wish
you
continued success, and we're going to, when you keep us apprised of future developments. And thank you so much for taking time and coming on the Jewish Hour.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, Purim. Adar's coming up. It's this week. If you're listening to the show after Tuesday, well, we're in the middle of Adar, and the expression is, that's the Hebrew month in which Purim comes in, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. When the month of Adar begins, and throughout the whole 29 days of the month, you're supposed to increase in joy. And if you really feel up, if you're really feeling happy, what do you feel like doing? Dancing. So this is Barry Weber, brand new. Tanz Rab Nachman, Dance with Rabbi Nachman.
But ברוך השם, עמי נושם. תן חיוך הכל לטובה, כי ישועות השם קרבן, ואין ייאוש בעולם כלל. מצווה גדולה להיות בשמחה, כך אמר צדיק יסוד עולם. העולם כולו הוא גשת צר מאוד, והעיקר לא לפחד גם. את ליבי שופך מרגיש, הוא עליי משגיח. התפרד שבכל מעשי אני אצליח, שיש לי תוקן עד מי אתה משיח.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Schulfenminnen, listening to the Jewish Hour. Let's see, let's stop that. Yes, we'll start it again. Hey, Schulfenminnen, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, it's been a while. This is classic Mickey Katz, "The Bagel Call Rag," just to make you happy.
Mops, Vredikov, Wuhan, Razmachet, have some lox with cream cheese. Here comes Mendel with a bagel called Rag. That was Klezmer Manny Klein with a Hey Nani Nani and a Hakka Rhine. Now we're cooking the hall with gas. Come Shem Bear, play Yiddish jazz. A gesinder in pipik barrel gill, you scripper like a genus, such gefil. Here comes a little hebop, zets, baruch habo, it's me, Kep Katz. Bum 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 bum, yippee 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 yippee. gitsy, 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 hutty, la 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 hey, la 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 la. Now, folks, you know that this bagel call, that's strictly playing for a gag. Beat it out, Sammy Weiss. Let's hear the bugle call rag.
Hey, Michigan. Did you know that filling out the census helps fund life-saving medical programs?
Money for Medicare, Medicaid, and My Child is directly tied to your participation. And you can complete all 9 questions in about 10 minutes.
So be sure to fill out the census this spring and count everyone in your home. When everyone counts, everyone wins.
To learn more, please visit myvoicecounts.org. That's myvoicecounts.org.
Herschel Fitman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Yes, 2020 is a census year, and it's really important. This is cannot be emphasized enough. There's no big brother over here. No one's going to know anything about you. There's no reason for paranoia, anxiety. They just want to know how many. And like the commercials say, you want better roads in Michigan? You want better health care in Michigan? You want maybe better representation in Congress, which is what this is all about, set way back when in the 1790s? Fill out the form, please. Like, don't be dumb about it. Just really, the form is going to come. It's going to come in a couple of weeks. It's due, I think, by April 1st, I think is when the day is. This is all mandated by the Constitution. Do your constitutional right. Fill in the form. Be counted. Make your existence count. We got time for one more. This is Matti Steinmetz, who's like the boy wonder. He's still got a voice like a boy wonder. He's probably 22 years old at this point. And this is called Vayomer Bayom Hahu. And on that day, we'll all point with our finger and say, that's God.
Yeah.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. This week, we're going to be talking a little bit about Purim. Purim is 2 weeks from this week, and it's March the 9th and the 10th. And just gives a little insight, we'll probably do this again. There are four things that Jews need to do on the holiday of Purim, also known as the Feast of Esther, which celebrates the story of the Book of Esther. And if you haven't read the Book of Esther in the Bible, I suggest you do. It's pretty, talking about plots and et cetera, this one's got a good storyline. There's been a lot of commentary written about it. But just to get through, so everybody knows the basic mitzvahs, so there is a commandment. These are rabbinic ordinances that were established by Mordechai and Esther, the protagonists of the story, and Jews have been doing Purim for 2,300 years already. It's to hear the story of the Book of Esther twice, once at night, would be Monday night, and during the day on the Tuesday. During Tuesday, to give charity to at least two people, to give two gifts of food to at least one person, and to enjoy a lavish meal. We at Jewish Ferndale are going to be doing something on Monday night. It's going to be 8 o'clock. We're going to be reading the Megillah. As we say, it's the fastest Megillah reading in all of Ferndale, followed by a wine tasting and charcuterie board. So you can see all that at jewishferndale.com. There is a required charge. You can sign up for it. It's cheaper if you do it online than if you do it at the door. So I encourage people to do that. Go sign up. You can RSVP at Facebook and pay for it online. And if you can't get to Jewish Ferndale, I suggest you get someplace else to go hear it. This is Purim is but once a year, and it's even worth taking off the day, because when Mordechai and Esther established this holiday, which saved the entire Jewish people, that's really what was at stake. There was a threat of annihilation one day, which is by the antagonist Haman. And when that decree and that edict was overturned, it was such a tremendous, going from one end of the spectrum to the other, from going from tremendous sorrow to great joy, that they said, "Why do you think you're going to miss a day of work? Do you think, you know, God couldn't pay you for your day of work? Somehow you get that money somewhere else?" And they even went so far as to say that if a person decides that they're going to go work on Purim, they're not going to see any benefit from that money. They really want people to take off on the 10th of March. So even if it means a sick day, a personal day, a vacation day, don't worry about it. The Almighty says, "I got your back on this one." And go have a good time. That's what Purim is really all about. Let's throw this in a little portion of the week, since it is that the month of Adar, the first portion that we will be reading is the portion of Terumah, found in chapter 26 of the book of Exodus and following. And we could say that there is a direct connection, because the word Terumah means an offering, make a gift. And there it talks about donating different things, primarily gold, silver, and copper, precious metals, meaning currency, meaning money, meaning of yourself, and dedicating that to the Almighty. That's really what the Purim story is really all about, because what happened? The Jews are pretty much were scattered. There's the story of Esther is discussed in an analogous way. that Haman, the antagonist, is the accuser who is accusing the Jewish people, meaning Mordechai and Esther, as representative of the Jewish people, to Ahasuerus, who's referred to as the king with a capital K, meaning referring to God, saying that there's a nation that's scattered among all the nations, and they don't even speak the king's language. That what was the accusation? Look at these Jews. If they were doing what they're supposed to be doing, they would definitely be living in Israel. They'd have their own temple. They'd be on their own independence. But they really punted. They messed things up. Let's take care of them. And so the decree came down. Okay, we'll take care of them. If they can't take care of themselves, we'll really take care of them. And then Mordechai stood up, the protagonist of the story, and got the Jews united and rallied them such that the Jewish people said, we will adhere to everything in the Torah, not because we're forced to, not because of some compulsation or being forced to do it. We will do it because we want to do it. We will give a gift of ourselves. We'll be the Truma. As it says in understanding this, the verse in the portion of the week, going back to the portion of the week, it says, take me and take all these things and take me an offering. Now, take me an offering is grammatically incorrect in English and in Hebrew. The way it's spelled is sort of like saying, call me a cab. Okay, you're a cab. It should say, take an offering for me. But it says, take me an offering. That when we're taking, what are we taking? We're taking of ourselves, but we're taking the Almighty. Because that's what happens when we're doing, when Jews are doing the right thing, we're in this groove. We become a singularity with the Almighty. It's like everything we do now, we're becoming united with the Almighty. That's what Purim's about. That's what the Parshas Truma is about. And we'll continue this line of reasoning next week. But right now, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with us? RabbiFinman.com will do. Do the homepage right on there. Is contact us. We'll contact you. There's also ways in which you can enhance your knowledge of Judaism. We've got the different classes on the RabbiFinman.com. There's the eParsha, which is a missive which I send out every week, and you can get it to your inbox weekly. We send it out. It's a short read. We like to keep things under 3 minutes, as is the case with the uParsha, which is an insight into the portion of the week, which is also generally around 3 minutes, and that includes the intake and the intro and the outro. And there's also on Rabbi Finman the very important donations page. The Jewish Hour is now entering, this next week will be 25 years on air. That's something. We should do something about it, and I guess we got a week to think about it, what we're going to do in honor of our anniversary. We'll have a big birthday party, and you're invited. But in the meantime, we need to make it to March, and that involves paying for February. So we need you. You've listened to the show. It's been over 50 minutes that you're listening, and you've enjoyed it. And it's probably not the first time you're listening. We need you to go to the computer, go to RabbiFinman.com, go to the donations page, give a donation. Make it an easy on yourself. Make it a monthly donation. If you have PayPal, it's bada bing, bada bing. You're done in 30 seconds. It's there. And we get the benefit of your love and kindness. And you get the benefit of listening to The Jewish Hour. And if you really wanted to know, you get it many ways, because donating to The Jewish Hour is a tax-exempt organization. You'll take it off your taxes if you so need to at the end of the year and pay less taxes. And who doesn't want to pay less taxes? So do it today. Don't like internet giving? Fine, understood. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Story today is a Purim story. Involves Reb Yisrael of Kuznets, also known as the Kuznetzer Maggid. He was a very insightful person, a miracle worker. He was named after the Baal Shem Tov. I'm not exactly sure when it was that he exactly lived, who his teacher was, but he's one of those big wigs that's out there. There was a person who has no name, and this person was very poor. Did not even have enough money for food. And here it was, Purim. And on Purim, you're supposed to have this big, lavish meal that I talked about. And he didn't know what he was going to do. He had nothing. And he had a family, kids, the whole business. So he figured, what is he going to do? He lived in a village outside of Kuznets, which saying a village outside of Kuznets would probably be like saying a suburb of Grayling, if you're familiar with Michigan geography. You know, so it's just like no place. But the Kuznetzer Rebbe himself read the Megillah. And from what I understand, it was quite inspiring to listen to him read the story of Esther. So he decided that's what he's going to do. And he was in a very good mood when he heard this story. He was very inspired. And then afterwards, the custom was that everybody came and shook the hands of the rabbi and wished him a happy Purim. So it was his Chaim's turn, and he shook the hand of the rabbi. And the rabbi said to him, why didn't you bring me shalach manis? Why didn't you give me a gift of food like everybody else is bringing? And he was just like heartbroken. What's he going to tell him? I don't have food for my family. I'm going to bring gifts. So the rabbi saw that his heart, he said, listen, you know what? Right after we get done over here, we're going, everybody's coming to my house, and we'll have some light refreshments. Please come along. And he was very happy that he got invited. And at this is like probably like 9 o'clock in the morning, they were imbibing in what we refer to as some serious imbibing. And after a couple of rounds of this, he felt really good. And he had an idea, because when you're inebriated, well, everything sounds like a good idea. What did he do? He went off to the local wine merchant and said, hi there, happy Purim. And he was just elated. The guy smiled back at him. He says, listen, I need a bottle of wine on credit. He says, of course I'll pay you back. But if I don't, consider it a gift on Purim. And he just like was so this infectious smile that the guy kind of chuckled and said, okay, here's a bottle of wine. And then he went off to the fruit and vegetable man and did the same thing. Hi, it's Purim, and can I have two of your best apples? And if I don't pay you back, listen, it's Purim. And he took the wine and the apples, and he ran right away to the Kuznetzer Maggid Reb Yisrael and said, happy Purim, Rebbe, here's Mashalach Manas, here's the gifts of the poor. And the Reb Yisrael smiled at him and said, I want you to make sure that every year you bring me these gifts of food, not gifts of the poor. And it was a great gift. It was a great blessing. And he got the idea. Listen, if it worked once, maybe. So he ran to the baker and said, it's Purim. Happy Purim. His big smile. Can you have a loaf of bread on credit? And I'll pay you back, of course. But if not, then I'll pay you, and if not, it's Purim. And the guy gave him a loaf of bread, and he did this with the fish merchant and with the got a bottle of Shlivovitz, a bottle of brandy out of the deal, and everybody, he had his arms were full, laden with food, and he ran back home. And no one understood. His family didn't understand where did he come suddenly with all this food, but they weren't going to ask questions. They sat down. They enjoyed. They had a wonderful time. They got up. Like you say, when you're happy, you dance. In the middle of their reverie, they heard a knock on the door. Clunk, 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 clunk. And somebody said, the wife said, nah, don't bother opening it. It's sort of like when the phone rings. Don't answer the phone. But somebody's standing at the door. So he said, I know who it is. It's probably the peasant who lives down the road and who I usually sell stuff to, and he probably wants to buy some potatoes or something. So he opens the door, and it's indeed the peasant. He's an old man, and he is just beaten up. He's bleeding. He's bruised. He can hardly stand up. He collapses on the floor. They get him into bed. They wash him up. They give him some brandy. And he says, "You have revived my soul." I said, "What happened?" He said, "It was my son. My own son. When he told me that he wanted money now instead of having to wait for me to die, he beat me up like this. And you know what? I see he would have left me for dead. I'm not giving him a penny." And he said, "I'm going to die soon. I can feel it. Let me show you where my money is." He took him into the forest and he showed him this spot under this tree is where my money is buried. He said, "Okay, what kind of is the guy's a peasant, you know, what the, you know." Several days later, the peasant died. And they let some period go by, and then they went and they dug up this area, and indeed they found clay pot, and a ceramic pot, and in it was filled quite a sum of money. And from then on, so he, of course, he went back and paid everybody for all the money, all the food that he took. And from then on, he always made sure to bring the gift of food to the Kosher Samagid. That's going to do it. I hope you have a great week this week. I hope I had a chance to entertain you a bit. Hope to have a chance to educate you a bit. It should be Mishenichnes Adar Marbin Besimcha, increase in joy. We'll see you back again next week. Take care. Oy shavu sayenikabah.